Amen. Philip, that was awesome. I start in this wrong key every song.
Awesome.
Y'all are a real blessing. Thank you for all the talent and time you put into learning your skills, because you bless us on Sundays. Bless you. Well, if you're watching online, we're glad that you are. And we hope that you feel part. It's not the same. It's not the best. It's not the same thing as being here. We have the feeling inside the house today is a wonderful feeling. It's kind of cool for Texas outside, and the wind's blowing, and we're about to go outside and probably freeze a couple kids in the outdoor baptistry. And so I wish we could show that to you, but we can't do that yet. Maybe one day we'll be able to do that. But we want to welcome you. And I hope that you feel a part of our service. We hope you'll keep on returning. If you're just by random checking us out today, yes, this is a church. We are doing church today. And we love the Lord Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the answer for all of life's problems, struggles. He has paid the price of our sin. And not only do we believe that Jesus is the answer for our eternal life situation, we also believe that Jesus is the answer to all of life's difficulties now. And so we are thankful for eternity, and we are drawing upon the Lord's strength to meet all our needs today. And we believe that in Jesus we overcome. We have hard times, we struggle, we hurt. This church body is full of all imperfect people. Not one perfect person is in here. And all of us are strugglers. All of us are trying to sort things out, but we are a family and we love each other, and we're trying to just show that Jesus is all we need. So I hope that you will join us every time you have a chance. Today, we're going to talk about the great giant Goliath and the little ruddy-faced boy, Daniel. David. Daniel's my kid. That's another story. Wrong key already. Wrong key. That's the way it goes. Wrong key. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Succah in Judah and Azekah at Ephes Damon. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. You can still go to the Valley of Elah today, and you can see where they squared off at, where their squaring off place was. They had them a good squaring off place, and it's in a valley between two steep cliffs on each side. And so you've got the Philistines on one side, and you've got the army of Israel on the other. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Now, in the Septuagint, it says he was 6'6", okay? In many manuscripts and translations, it says that he was 9 foot tall. And so it depends upon the translation of the word, but nevertheless, he's a big boy. He's drafted number one. He can play defensive 2, 3, 4, 5. He can be the whole defense. He's the man. Think about this. He wore a bronze helmet and his bronze coat of mail, and that is an old-fashioned word that means armor. That's kind of like the knights of that you see in the Dark Ages, in that time of age. It's woven together with little hooks, kind of like when you're putting up a chicken fence. You know, you got the little screws there, just put them all together there. He wore that mail coat that he wore weighed 125 pounds. So if you have a vest of armor on that weighs 125 pounds, you are big. You are strong. You are something else. Can you imagine if you went and got a 100-pound feed bag and carried it around all day on your shoulder? It gets hard. It gets difficult. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. Listen to this. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. Take your 15-pound sledgehammer and hold it out like that. That's pretty hard. I hit a sledgehammer on an old tire in my backyard all the time, and I'll try to hold it like that. I can't hold it very long. I'm trying to get a little bigger, a little stronger with my hands. And so his armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul." Whew. You know, a little bit of, pricking here. Getting old Saul all wound up, you know, begging him to come on out and fight. "Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be my slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today to send me a man who will fight me. Is there anyone who will fight me?" he says. Now look in verse 11. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. So here's the deal, y'all. Saul and his army are paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by fear. Now, giants often paralyze us. We have to learn. We have to grow. We have to develop in faith. We have to develop in belief. But every single one of us has faced a giant, and we have been paralyzed by that giant. We all have a problem that's way beyond us, an adversary that we can't deal with, a giant. A giant can be an illness. A giant can be a disappointment. A giant can be a setback. A giant can be a host of stuff. It can be all kinds of things that we can face that causes us to withdraw, to hide, to be terrified, and to be paralyzed. And so we have a lesson here. First of all, are we like David, that we'll get to in a minute, or are we like Saul in his army? When we have giants to face, are we paralyzed by fear and deeply shaken, disturbed? Now, first of all, they didn't realize that they're never the underdog with God. Saul and the troops didn't put God as part of the solution here. God wasn't part of possibility here. They were facing their problem with their own strength rather than facing their problem with God's strength and power in mind. Now, that could have been different for them. And when we're paralyzed by faith by some giant, it could be different for us too. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be shaken. We do not have to be overwhelmed with fear. Because after all, if God is God, right, and He's almighty and all-powerful, then we should never be in this situation for longer than a few flittering seconds if our focus and our trust is on God. You can hurt, but you move forward. You can be concerned, but it doesn't get the best of you because we have faith in God. We believe God. We believe that He is able. We believe that God is not going to allow us to get into a situation that He is not going to demonstrate that He's Almighty God. He's the God, the Lord of the heaven's armies. But here, Saul and his army, they didn't realize that with God, they're never the underdog. And they fold. They fold. I think verse 11 in this whole story is an opportunity for us to examine our belief. How strong are we? How strong are you? How tough are you in faith? Are we raising children who are tough in faith? Are we raising people that can handle life's problems, life's struggles, life's giants? Or are we raising kids that will be like Saul in his army, and they will not have the faith to handle life's giants? Now, Christian maturity, growth in Christ, flourishing in faith always comes to moments of decision. And that decision is, we're going to believe God and we're going to trust God, or we're going to resign. We're gonna retreat. We're gonna withdraw from the giant out there. Now, Blackaby, in his book, Experiencing God, calls that a crisis of faith. Saul and his men faced a crisis of faith, and that crisis of faith was Goliath. How strong are you? Do we need to get tougher? I think that we need to get tougher. I think that all of us need to get tougher in our belief and in our trust in God. We should not be overwhelmed when a giant hits us. We can struggle. We may need to swallow hard. We may need to really take a real firm approach with ourselves. We may just say, now wait a minute here. Why are you withdrawing? Why are you not engaging? Why are you not believing? Get a hold of yourself here. God is God and He is on His throne. And we are not going to hide from the giant. Because God is God. And God is not wanting us to hide from the giants. He's desiring that we believe Him for the victory over the giant. So examine your belief. Now, let's look in verse 12. Now, David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from the Bethlehem, the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shemaiah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem for 40 days. Every morning and evening, the Philistine champions strutted in front of the Israelite army. Oh, can you imagine how humiliating that was for Saul's army? One day, Jesse said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along. Bring back a report of how they're doing." David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So, David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? They done been through this. They done been just defeated and demoralized. But you reckon they were having a little pep rally every single morning? Maybe today's the day that we can beat the giant, right? I'm going to do better today. You ever do that? You wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to be defeated today. I'm not going to be broken today. I'm going to have victory today. By George, I'm not going to let the giants in my life get the best of me today. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be unfettered. I'm going to live by faith, belief, and trust. And you get going. You get yourself going. You listen to some country music, Christian country music, perhaps. I don't know where the country came from because of today. You listen to some Christian music and it gets you all ramped up. You know, Jesus is Lord. I'm going to follow Him. And all those good things, and you walk in your school or your business or your company or whatever it is, and it just goes. It's gone. And once again, you repeat the same old thing again. Look at, they were leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Today's the day. I'm going to fight. Today, I'm fighting Goliath. No, you won't. You ain't done it yet. You say it every day. You're not going to do it. No, today, today's the day. Today's the day. Soon, the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men ask. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Now, I'm not in for the wife, but I'm in for no taxes. Exempted from paying taxes. Woo! Wouldn't that be a beautiful, beautiful thing? Here it is. We just got through having to pay them taxes. Wouldn't it be good not to have to pay taxes? I love politicians that talk about cutting taxes. I wish they'd go ahead and cut them. Get on with it. I don't like paying taxes. And that would be a reward that would maybe not. He's 6'6" at least. He wears a 25-pound sweater. He's got a 15-pound tip to his spear. Maybe not. But David in verse 26, David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him." But when David's oldest brother, Eliab. Now, we have already been introduced to Eliab back in chapter 16. Go back and read that sometime this week and have a look at that. God is done with Saul. He's had enough with Saul. He's going to raise up another king, and he's going to anoint another king. He says, "Go down there to that family in Bethlehem. Oh, Jesse, he's got some sons. Bring them up here. One of those sons is going to be the one I'm going to anoint." So when Eliab comes by, obviously Eliab is a pretty specimen. He's tall. He's strong looking. He looks leadership-ish. If anybody's going to be the king, remember, Saul's a pretty good-sized fellow as well. Saul looks good in a uniform. You ever seen people? They just look good in a suit. They just look good in their clothes. They just look good in football pads. They just look good in a baseball uniform. You know, you see some guys, they just look good in that uniform. They got what they need, big Popeye forearms, and, you know, they got the swagger and stuff, and they just thin waist and look like they can really do something. Well, that's Eliab. He looks good. Can you imagine? All his life, everyone says, "You're such a handsome young man. You're such a big, strong young man. Eliab, you're going to be something someday." However, when he's presented, the Lord says, "That's not him." And Samuel says, "Well, I thought for sure it'd be him, Lord." And he says, "No, you remember, man looks on the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart." That's where that came from. And so Eliab here, when David walks up with a fresh perspective and faith, and faith gives you a fresh perspective, faith allows us to walk on the scene, even though we're brand new to the situation, and it lets us look at what's going on with different eyes than everybody else. David, he walks on the scene with different fresh eyes. And Eliab don't want to hear from David. Eliab, he obviously, because David was selected, David's the anointed one. There's been a brewing problem, sibling rivalry for a good while here. And so Eliab says to David in verse 28, "Why are you here anyway?" He's angry at him. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of?" In other words, "You need to go on home, David. This is men's work here. We're soldiers. We're facing a formidable foe here. We're facing down this Goliath, this huge man. Go on back to your sheep. And let this, just leave all this to real men." He says, "I know your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Eliab tells us clearly The cold water crew always shows up when fresh faith arrives. Of the church's situation, that's always a problem in the people of the Lord. Now, these soldiers have been beaten down. These soldiers, no one has had the faith to move forward against Goliath. And they're absolutely defeated. They're frustrated. They're demoralized. And David shows up and goes, I don't know what the big deal is here. But we got a problem. We need to fix this problem. You know, what's wrong with you guys? That's really the spirit of David here. And there's Eliab. He has poured or tried to pour cold water on David. Now, Eliab's spirit is that David is in no, he's out of his league here. There's no way he can face this giant. And the truth is, through man's eyes, through what you can see, right, David has no business fighting mighty Goliath. David's a little fella. David's not known for being a super giant of a man. He's ordinary, everyday, ruddy face. But when the Lord, he's not an underdog. He's not in over his head. Now, here's the lesson for us. In our own strength, we're often in over our head. But in the Lord's strength, we're never in over our head. The problem is we're in overhead. We try to fix it ourselves. We try to do it ourselves. When we try to find the problem, the solution, we try to find the solution. We try to make it happen. We try to make it work. Then we're in over our head. But when we are released by faith to the Spirit of the Lord, we're never in over our head. Eliab didn't see that. Saul doesn't see that. David is the only one we see in the story that sees that. Beware of the cold water crew. People are full of life and zest and belief and trust. Perhaps they've just had a good encounter with the Lord. Maybe it's renewal of faith. Maybe it's repentance. Maybe they've been born again and they're energized. They believe. They trust. And they go to the church house and they share with people the love, the desire, the passion they have to do the things that Jesus wants done. And the cold water committee always pours water on them because it makes them miserable to hear that someone's believing God. This happens all the time. What's taking place on this battlefront is not something that doesn't take place in everyday life today. Oh man, don't let people pour cold water on you. If you've had a word from the Lord, if you believe God, if you're trusting in Him, if you're facing a giant and you're facing that giant with faith and trust in what He's able to do, don't let people pour cold water on you. Now you need to love them, you need to help them see, but don't let them influence you. You got to move forward. There's always going to be the majority is not going to move forward with you. If you're going to stand out, if you're going to live by faith, and if you're going to live that God is absolutely all-powerful and He can fix any problem and He can meet any need, you're always going to stand alone. David did. Don't let them pour cold water on you. Resist it. Now, let's go on to the story in the few minutes we have left. We got to see him with Goliath. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. I love that. I want to be that. Don't you want to be that? I want to be the one, and I want to be with the people that say, no one else is willing to fight, but we are, by gosh. We are. We're willing to fight. We're willing to have victory here. We recognize, we believe God. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. You can't beat Mean Joe Green. You can't go out there and fight him. You can't beat Taco. We'll find out, won't we? You can't beat old Taco. He's big. He's strong. He's been doing this a long time. He's experienced. We're afraid of him. We know what he can do. But David persisted. Listen to what David says. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. That's what he said. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. David has courage. David has confidence. David has been prepared for this. He's ready to go. Now, what he's saying is, let me tell you something. The lions and the bears that I faced have prepared me for this guy. I can handle this. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on. Now, this tells you how little he is and how, in when it comes to an arm wrestling match, he can't beat Goliath. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. He can't carry them. It's too heavy. He can't do it. He can't move. It fettered him, and he needs to be unfettered to face this Goliath. So David took them off again. He picked up five smooth stones from a stream and put them in the shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistines. The weapons that David chose to use are the weapons he used every day. Nothing new, nothing different. You know, when you're facing life's giants, you don't need new stuff. You don't need new method. You don't need new technique, perhaps. You just need to use what God has equipped you with. You need to use your spiritual gift. You need to use your prayer. You need to use love by all means. You need to use the Word of God. You need to use the talents that the Lord has shaped you with. You know how God wants to use you. You've seen it before. That's what David does here. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Can you see the scene? 9 foot, 6'6", whatever he is. 125-pound vest on. Big 15-pound tip of the spear. Out there, loud, big, can play all the defensive line. And there's David out there. He's got his stick, his shepherd's stick. I bet it's nice and pretty. No, it's probably not. Just nice and smooth, you know. And he's got five smooth stones, a little pouch. He's out there with just his. Now, who are you going to wage with? Who are you going to bet on? All right, if you went to Las Vegas right then. All right, we got Goliath on one side, and he's got a 125-pound vest, and he's got a 15-pound spear, and you got what looks like little bitty pebbles in a sack with David, and he's got a sling. Who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to pick? The difference is David trusted in his Lord. He says, you got all this going on. You got this, but I come in the name of the Lord. David fights that battle with belief and trust. And he says to him in verse 46, "Today you, the Lord, will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us." So, David went alone. No one else went with him. Goliath's out there with a shield bearer, not David. No one went with David. If you would have voted right then, how many of y'all think David's going to win? David wouldn't have got any votes at all. Matter of fact, what he probably would have got is, "I hope David's killed quickly. Do away with him." I mean, he's showing us up with his faith, his trust. They didn't say the faith, but he's showing us up by going out there. He's got the courage to walk out there. He's unfettered. He takes off the armor that Saul gave him and says, I got to go at this in my own tennis shoes. I've got to go at this in my equipment. And he just takes what he knows about. He uses what he's trained in. And he understands that the battle is the Lord's. That's how he goes. Now, in the bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded, you're down by a run. Who you want up to bat? Do you want someone that is afraid of not getting a hit? Or do you want someone up there who knows he's going to hit that ball? The one that's afraid to get a hit, he's tight. He's nervous. He squeezes hard. He's not himself. That's not who you want up there. Interesting, David's the one you want up there. The kind of David. We say today in the sports world, he's got ice in his veins. He's not afraid. He's not afraid. Now, listen. Many, many, many of life's problems is a result of being paralyzed by fear. Fear of success, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of losing. Man, faith in God should erase that as time goes on. And we should be willing to be more David-like and less Saul and army-like. So, he went alone, he went unfettered, and he went with the Lord, recognizing that the battle is the Lord's. This is the Lord's battle, he says at the end of verse 47, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Knocked him out. One shot knocked him out. One stone knocked him out. He took five, but only took one. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used it to cut off his head. Now, look what happened. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Sure enough. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath into the gates of Ekron. What changed? They saw the victory of the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting in these group dynamics? Absolutely paralyzed by faith. The other team absolutely just rejoicing and loving what's going on. One team sees their army, their giant, get whipped. and they run with the fear. There was a transfer of fear. And that's what God does. When we're not believing God, the other side is strong. The enemy is strong. The giant is strong. But when our faith is strong, the giant is weak because of who God is. All right? Man, you might be facing a giant. Not any of us want to face your giant. Believe God. Trust God. Are you with Saul and his army, or are you with David? Whose side are you going to be on when that giant shows up? Where are you? Are you growing stronger in belief? Need to get stronger? Need to get tougher? Oh man, I believe we need to get tougher as believers today in belief. The Holy Spirit's at work in that. Let Him do a marvelous work in you. And realize the next giant you face is to grow you in faith. One of the reasons for it is to grow you in faith. Don't run from God. Run to Him. Run to Him. Father, we pray today that the Spirit will teach us and guide us, comfort us, correct us, rebuke us. May Your Spirit work in us the work that needs to be accomplished so that we can be stronger, more devoted to You, God, that our heart is all Yours, that we'd be all Yours, Lord, and that, Father, that we would be effective in being the people we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forward.